Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I am Koji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, award-winning Ghanaian tour guide and playwright Nii Ayi Solomon talks about the devastating impact of the coronavirus pandemic on the tour guiding business in Ghana and why he thinks managers of the tourism sector need to do more to make the West African country a competitive destination. Good evening and welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. And I'm privileged to be joined by Nii Ayi Solomon, a tour guide, a tour practitioner. And then I'll leave it for him, you know, for him to introduce himself. Hi, Nii.
Hi, Kojo.
Yeah.
I am grateful to you for having me on your podcast today.
So how is the sector doing? I mean, tour guiding, tour operations in Ghana.
I think that since March, and when we experienced the lockdown, after we have recorded some cases of COVID-19, the industry has been, if you like, it is the most hardest hit, because there aren't a lot of businesses going on. Things are a bit slow down here in Ghana. Up until recently, that a few tourism institutions were allowed to open and operate, like the hotels and restaurants and the drinking bars and other places. Things have been very, very difficult. And as a professional tour guide, I haven't had any business to do since March. So you can imagine, and this is what I do professionally to survive. So it's been quite difficult and sticky down here. But I think things are easing slowly.
Okay. But I mean, we saw that domestic tourism started in Ghana. But again, if you look at the tourism sector in Ghana, where inbound is the main driver of the sector, what is the magnitude of the impact?
I think that that actually has been one of the major problems of Ghana, the lack of promotion in terms of domestic tourism. Else, during this COVID period, now that we have eased all the internal border issues, so now we have planes flying from one city to the other, and a lot of places have been eased, restaurants and other things are operating. This should be the good time for the industry to sort of have a little bit of a balance. But unfortunately, we haven't marketed our destination enough to the local people. In fact, the large majority of people who around this time would have been traveling to Dubai, Singapore, Mauritius, and other countries are all in town because they can't go anywhere. The airports and all those places are locked. So if we were promoting domestic tourism, all these people would have been spending their money within the local economy, and that would actually boost the tourism industry. But that is the major problem we are facing.
No, but Nii, look, I mean, you're a tour guy and you know some of the issues. Now, people also talk about value for money and product diversification. If you look at our product and someone want to go to Mauritius or Kenya or Seychelles or Dubai, name it, do you think that we offer them some enticing incentive for them to spend their money, even now that we are in this, this circumstance?
Well, I would say my answer would be yes and no. Yes, because the industry, the tourism industry in Ghana, of course, is a growing one, but there are a lot of destinations. You hear a lot of Ghanaians say, oh, there isn't any place to visit. Up until they see you travel to a particular location, take pictures and post them on social media, then everyone will start calling and asking, why is this? How can I locate it? How can I go there with my family? So that's yes. I mean, there are a lot of places that, like you mentioned, if we package the product very well, we will be able to sell to the local people. For example, a destination management company like the Ghana Tourism Authority, I think that is lacking behind because we have a lot of destinations that Ghanaians do not know. You have Ghanaians who visit certain locations and don't know that certain tour attractions, certain hotels, certain resorts are in all those places. So when they get the money, they go to Dubai, they go to Mauritius, because good, you and I know that when we even go to the travel market and you see a Dubai stand, they mean business. So they're able to market their destination so well to the outside market such that everyone within our local economy want to pack money and go to those places. I'll say no also because when you look at the Ghanaian tourism product, it is so expensive. Hotels in Ghana are just so expensive. I was in a webinar recently during the lockdown, and we're telling hoteliers that since you're not getting a lot of your foreign market coming in, just slash your rate so that a local Ghanaian will be able to travel internally. They said no, because you would also understand them. They are paying all kinds of taxes, and the government is on their neck. They are paying so many things. So it makes it very difficult for them to reduce their price, because at the end of the day, they either have to break even or make profit. You know, so that is the situation here in Ghana at the moment, and things are a bit difficult. So this is where we are.
But as a professional tour guide, what is the psyche of the Ghanaian? I mean, are they attraction or are they destination?
Well, I think that right now everyone is suffering. I'll give you a very typical example. I spoke to Mr. Blankson. Mr. Blankson is also a professional tour guide. You know him. He guided President Obama and his family when he was in Ghana. And the Cape Coast Castle has been closed for a very long time up until recently. He was telling me that if you come to the castle, there is nobody. All the boys you see sitting in front of the castle, who all benefits from tourists coming in and out, everyone went to sleep because there was nothing happening. So the locals are suffering because the large majority of them, especially those who reside around places that have big tourist attractions are all suffering because no one is coming. The tour guides who work in all these facilities are all home. How to feed their families are a major concern to them and very problematic. And so this is the state, and it's quite difficult and very sticky.
Well, interesting. Probably, one question I would like to ask you again, and I know we cannot have a closure to this particular topic or assertion, is that do you think that our product, which type of market can Ghana have that comparative advantage? Because we know we have heritage, we have, safari, we are not very competitive, the beach as well. But as a tour guide and, having guided a lot of groups.
If you ask me, as a tour guide and, of course, an academic, I would say that Ghana should just focus on three key areas.
Okay.
Historical, heritage, and cultural tourism.
Okay.
And let's position our product in these three key areas, because historically, when you come to Ghana and you walk around from Keta in the east all the way to Axim in the west, we have over 40 forts and castles dotted along the coast. And these are all historical monuments that sort of defines us and tells great stories. And I'm sure that these monuments we have, I don't know which African country has all these kind of monuments. And we can map a very beautiful slave route. Secondly, we have a lot of heritage attractions in Ghana, the Kutubai shrines and all these other things, you know. Thirdly, Ghana, we have great festivals and all of that. And of course, when we were all growing up, we used to hear things like storytelling. Why can't we capitalize on this? Because sometimes the people in the helms of affairs are so confused, they don't know which of these products to market. You know, so you go to a travel market and then you hear a destination management organization, maybe rep, talking about safari tourism. You can't beat Kenya, you can't beat Tanzania in safari. In fact, sometimes you go to the Mole National Park, I have done it before. We did the walking through the bush and everything, we couldn't see elephants. Not that there were no elephants there, but at a certain season, it's so difficult to see them. But I'm sure all these other destinations, when you're doing proper safari in, say, South Africa or Kenya or Tanzania, the animals are there in abundance, so they can pride themselves in that. So we should, I think, being a professional tour guide, and of course, guiding a lot of people over the last 10 years, people from all walks of life, they are so happy to see cultural drumming and dancing.
Yes.
You know, they are so happy to see festivals like the Gan Homowo, Akwesidae, Fetu Afashe, and all these other things, you know. They are thrilled, and some even cry when they see the monstrous slave castles in Elmina and Cape Coast, and when the story is being told in its true sincerity. So I think that we should focus on our strength, because this is what we have. Let's put it together and market it well to the international organization, such that any international tourist that comes to our destination knows that as for Ghana, when you go, you are just going to see their cultural heritage and historical artifacts.
Yeah.
So if you ask me, these three key areas can be able to sell Ghana more and make it more competitive in West Africa and even in Africa, you know. And that way we can be able to attract the right kind of tourists to ourselves. Then when the person comes and you take the person to Shy Hills and they see the zebras in the cage and they see the antelopes,
it's complimentary.
It's complimentary, you know, then you wow them. But if that is what you are selling to them and the day they come and they don't see it, they are disappointed. Mm. And the reviews will be bad. And it's not good for our destination.
Interesting. Now let's talk about tour guiding and tour operations, where you've been doing that for the last decade. Now you told me earlier how the sector has been affected.
Yes.
What has been the support that you guys are receiving? I mean, you've received from either the tourism board or government, because we heard they made available some support for the sector.
But as we speak right now, nothing has come up yet. Well, there was this, I think, World Bank fund that came for people to apply for that grant to be able to get some sort of support from government. That is the only thing I think the government has done for the sector. Even with that, I have spoken to a lot of people and I don't know one person who has received the grant yet. You know, I personally have also applied. They've come back to me to supply them with some information. I have given it to them, but I haven't heard from them. And neither has any of my colleagues who work in the industry that I have asked have said anything to me. I was on a familiarization trip just last week, Wednesday, and I brought up the same question. Nobody has received anything yet. So far, I don't know anybody in the sector who would say that they have received some support from government in this COVID period. I don't know. Maybe some people have received, but not that I know of.
How is tour guide or tourist guide in some aspect regulated in Ghana?
If you ask me, it is not regulated. It is not. It is not at all. You hear people just get up and say they are tour
guides, and then they can give you some history. So that qualifies them to be a tour guide.
Exactly, you know, but that again has some negative effect on the destination, because a tour guide is supposed to reach the visitor and the visited,
informed, research, etc. Yeah,
knowledge, communication, tact, and service skills, thereby contribute to the transforming the touristic experience of the particular visitor in the destination. If the person is not supplying the visitor with a lot of good information, that goes against the destination. So if you realize, the tour operators that have worked in that capacity before, the tour operators try as much as possible to link up with the Tour Guide Association of Ghana to be able to always and constantly get the professional tour guides, those that are trained, either those that have gone to university to study tour guiding like myself, or those who went to Podcat to study tour guiding. And these people have been certified to be able to take tour guides on. Recently, the Tour Guides Association of Ghana, led by Professor Nkuni Achia, were running some training for tour guides across the country to be able to provide them with certification so that the right kind of tour guides are employed. But then again, we have a lot of tour operators who are not even under the Ghana Tour Operators Union of Ghana, and they are also doing their own thing. So once they see anybody who is a tour guide, they get employed. So it is quite difficult, because a tour guide is a storyteller.
Yes.
And he has to ensure that the stories he tell about the destination has good facts. I mean, it's expressing great knowledge, and all of that. So tour guiding is a very sensitive part of the entire tourist product that you want to deliver to tourists that visit the destination. And I don't think it's well regulated in the country.
Have any of your colleagues or the Tour Guide Association of Ghana taken it upon themselves to engage with stakeholders and see how you can regulate? Because if you look at the narrative of a destination and the perception, okay, it's very key. Yeah. And so if we allow it like that, anybody at all can wake up and say that it's a tour guide, then it's a problem for the destination.
Yes, so I think that the Tour Guides Association of Ghana are trying as much as possible to do this. But if you ask me, the Ministry of Tourism should also be involved, and then of course the destination management organization like the GTA should also be heavily involved, so that it is well announced that for every tour operator, for you to hire any tour guide, the person must show maybe something that shows that he or she is a tour guide. You know, either some academic qualification, or perhaps is registered with the association and association recognizes this person and has a badge, has a something to show. Else, for the tour operator, you may lose a lot of clients if you pick a bad tour guide, because the tour guide represents you on the tour and he's trying to translate or execute the tour itinerary you've given to him or her. So if the person doesn't execute it well, doesn't have good communication skills, doesn't have good knowledge about the destination, and is not even charismatic, it becomes a problem. And then the product is not sold. So I think the Ministry of Tourism, the Ghana Tourism Authority, the Tour Guides Association of Ghana, these three bodies must come together, come up with a framework on what qualifies somebody in Ghana as a professional tour guide. And based on this criteria, it is shared across board to all tour operators, and it's announced that for you to pick anybody as your tour guide, these are the criteria you need to follow to pick the person, and the person should, else, once anything goes wrong, it affects the destination. You know, someone can choose not to ever visit Ghana or recommend it to anybody because he met a very bad tour guide. Yes.
Okay. Now, do you think that we are not giving tour guiding it to you as a job or as a profession, that it's even failing to attract the youth and the young people, say in the tertiary institution, to join the profession?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think so, because tour guiding in certain jurisdiction is a whole job by itself. You know, we have two types of tour guides. We have the on-site tour guides, those that when you get to the destination will take you around the attraction and tell you the history and everything. And then we have the second type of tour guide that, if you ask me, is more even difficult, because that person, I will call that particular tour guide the en route tour guide, the one who takes you, picks you at the airport and runs with you throughout the entire of your duration in which you are in Ghana, which means that the person must be very knowledgeable, must know. Imagine you are doing a 14 days tour of Ghana, and you are going to all the 16 regions. This tour guide must have information on every region and all the attractions and the things you see en route. So that's a very good job. But I don't think that it's been seen in that direction. Yeah. So you have people working at the castles doing their national service, and right after that, they are not interested in doing that job. They go and find something else to do because it's not lucrative. It's not well paid. So people look at all these factors and just ignore the profession and then just leave. For those of us who have still been in it, it's because we have passion for it. We love it, and that's why we are in. So I don't think that they have made the tour guiding job very, very lucrative to be able to attract a lot of people. I think that institutions like the Cape Coast Technical University, Cape Coast University, Kwame Nkrumah Institute of Technology, all these universities that teach tourism must add tour guiding to their curricula. I think some of these institutions already, they do that, but those who don't should add it to the curriculum and teach it well, such that you will attract somebody who is in the class to want to become a tour guide.
Because again, you know, The point also is that do these tour operators give tour guides their due? Because if it is not a viable, you know, lack of a better word, profession, and you are part of a certain chain of service, you know, mm-hmm. how then do you ask people to you know, see tour guide as a profession when the whole ecosystem of tourism or the tour operation do not recognize, you know, the tour guide with a
paying a tour guide who is going to sleep over at a particular destination, say $50 or $40 a day. Now, this person is going to that destination. That $40, he has to feed himself and pay for his own accommodation. How much will be left for him after the job? You know? So, but then again, the tour operator also, because I've been in tour operation before and I've done a lot of tour costing, the tour operator is also looking at cutting down costs so that the final consumer doesn't bear all the costs and doesn't even walk away from the price, because Ghana, you know, is a very expensive destination.
Okay.
So by the time you finish doing the costing and everything, you slap everything onto the final consumer, they look at it and go like, I really want to come to Ghana, but it's too much. I'm paying like $2,500 for a 5-day tour of Ghana, you know, and that's a lot for them. So I think that is where the problem is. Otherwise, I think there should be some sort of synergy between the tour guide and the tour operator so that they can all reach other at the same level. The amount of money they are giving, if you take your accommodation out, I just have something small.
Okay. Now, as we restart tourism again,
yeah,
what do you think will be the silver lining for tourism and more specifically for tour guide?
What would be the what?
I'm saying the silver lining. I mean, we know we've all gone through a, you know, horrible situation.
Yeah.
But yes, there's always a good to a crisis. What will be the good to the crisis that we can sit back and say that because of this crisis, we're able to do something better in the future?
Well, I think that this crisis should give us a lot of space to rethink the Ghanaian tourism product again, see what we can offer to tourists, which would be better than what we used to offer, find some other solutions to some of our problems. For example, when I was at the Ministry of Information for this grant that we're talking about, they said one of the things they want to do with the money, or they have started doing with the money, is improving some of the tour attractions, making sure that they are building nicer washrooms and all of that. In fact, one of the places that I would give them thumbs up would be Kakum National Park. When you go there, the washrooms are really nice and clean and good running water and all of that. I think this particular period should give us that level of thinking about the tourism product again, but unfortunately, I don't see anything going on. I really don't see anything going on. So post-COVID, I don't know how it, for me, it almost looks like it's going to be business as usual, you know, because the tourism industry in Ghana hasn't been given the necessary attention that it deserves, though it is the fourth foreign exchange earner for the country, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that those in the helms of affairs should be able to critically look at maybe some key to attractions, what is missing out there, how can we do it? And secondly, we are coming back from, or we will be coming back from COVID-19. So what is the promotional strategy for Ghana? How are we going to position our product again to the world? It looks like other destinations I'm seeing online and everything are doing so well. I don't know, if I'm not mistaken, when I was Kenyan, that were inviting photographers and filmmakers to come and tell the story all over again, and they're going to get a certain percentage. As people are doing things already, I've seen videos of Dubai trying to invite people to come because now it's safe, though there's coronavirus, and they've put together a very nice promotional campaign. I haven't seen anything about Ghana. We have opened our restaurants now, we have opened our pubs now, the tour attractions are open now. In fact, by 1st September, maybe the borders will be open. But what have we put in place? What, because we haven't seen anything online, either on television or radio, and then saying that, okay, now for all tourists coming to visit Ghana, this and this and this, the hotels are at this, nothing, you know. So for me, this is one of the things I want to see, that's coming back from or recovering from COVID-19. These are some of the modalities I believe should be put in place. There should be a strong marketing campaign for Ghana that locals know, international tourists know, that we can blast on social media and sell the destination properly and tell them, this time around, when you come, we have put ABC measures in place and this is how things are going to be. But unfortunately, I haven't seen anything yet. Nothing has been. I haven't seen anything on social media. The only stamp where they say Croatia, Ecuador, and Ghana gets the WTTC safe travel stamp, which means that our destination is included in the list of countries safe to travel to amid coronavirus by World Travel and Tourism Council 2020. You know, this is okay. The only report out.
Now, Ni, as we wrap up the conversation, can you tell us about yourself and what you're doing now? From tour guiding to your tour operations, everything. Tell us more.
So, currently, I am also into academia. I am starting.
Tell us about yourself. Yeah.
Okay. So, my name is Niyaye Solomon. I live in Accra, Ghana. I'm a professional tour guide and tour planner. I've been in the industry for over 10 years. And currently, I'm also with the University of Ghana Business School, the Marketing and Entrepreneurship Department. I'm a teaching assistant there. But starting my PhD in September, and my area of research is on destination marketing. Currently, I've worked on a few academic papers trying to project Ghana. The latest one we are working on is on storytelling, how to use storytelling in marketing Ghana's historical, cultural, and heritage artifacts. Aside that, I am also the creative director of Village Minds Production, a theater company that produces all my literary works. So I'm also a professional playwright and a published poet, and I've written a lot of plays and produced them in Ghana. Unfortunately, we were supposed to travel to Connecticut, South Carolina, and New York to do my play Chains and Shackles, a play that talks about the transatlantic slave trade. But because of COVID-19, we couldn't travel in April. And so this is basically something that I do, and I would want to encourage everybody to come and see our beautiful destination, Ghana. But when you're in Ghana, you need to look for the award-winning tour guide, Niyaye Solomon, to take you around the whole country.
Yes, Niyaye, thank you very much for your time, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Kojo. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm grateful.